Welcome to this Nordics Info podcast. Nordics Info is a research dissemination website based at Aarhus University in Denmark and publishes material by researchers on many different aspects of the Nordic countries within the social sciences and humanities. Nordics Info is part of the university hub Reimagining Norden in an Evolving World, RENEW. This podcast series is based on friends and colleagues of Nordics Info reading out material that already exists in written form on the website.
This podcast is about the decolonization of Greenland in the 1940s and 50s and is a translation of an article of the same name on DanmarkHistorian.dk. This podcast was recorded in Copenhagen in February 2020 and is read by me, Brian Whitcomb. An international discussion on decolonization followed in the aftermath of the Second World War in the mid-1940s. The newly formed United Nations created some of the most important platforms for these discussions. Consequently, Danish politicians and civil servants feared that Greenland, the last of the Danish colonies, would attract negative international attention. Greenland had joined the Danish colonial empire when colonialization began in 1721. Denmark governed Greenland as a colony for the following two centuries. From 1945 to 1954, the question of Greenland's colonial status formed one of the most important aspects with respect to Danish ambitions in the UN. Denmark conducted a series of meetings and sat on several committees in order to influence the international community to accept a continued Danish presence in Greenland. It succeeded. When the Danish electorate voted for changes to the Danish constitution in 1953, Denmark simultaneously integrated Greenland as a county. The UN recognized Greenland's new status in 1954. Greenland and the era of decolonization. Denmark ratified the Charter of the United Nations in 1945. The Charter's focus on colonial conduct and governance urged its signatories to improve conditions in their respective colonies, provided they possessed such territories. As the anti-colonial United States of America and the Social Union emerged victorious in the Second World War, they strived to define and make anti-colonial policies the order of the day. In 1946, the United Nations asked all member states, including Denmark, whether they possessed one or more colonies. If Denmark acknowledged possessing a colonial territory, the Charter obliged Denmark to submit statements and reports on the territory to the United Nations. Although Denmark had governed Greenland as a colony, Danish civil servants and politicians were reluctant to see Greenland as on a par with other colonial territories. They argued that, as Denmark had never exploited Greenland as other European powers had done in Africa or Asia, the Charter did not apply to Greenland. Ultimately, however, Denmark did choose to report Greenland as a Danish colony. After all, it was better to influence global opinion at the new centre of international cooperation. Firstly, Greenland's geostrategic position as an enormous buffer zone between the United States and the Soviet Union strengthened Denmark's opportunity for advancing its interests. Secondly, the Danish government did not think that its form of colonial rule would attract as much negative attention as the colonial regimes in Africa and Asia. All of this increased the likelihood that Denmark could be framed as a benevolent colonial power, which in turn could translate into international recognition of a continued Danish presence in Greenland. Because of these considerations, Denmark reported that Greenland was a colony. Thereafter, Danish uncertainty about Greenland's future status grew as anti-colonial sentiments increased in the following years. The modernization of Greenland. In order to modernize the conditions in Greenland, in line with the UN Charter, the Danish government appointed a commission in 1948. 2 years later, the commission presented a modernization scheme to reform the economic, the political and social fabric of Greenlandic society which subsequently became law. The Greenland Acts of 1950 paved the way for radical changes to Greenlandic society from the 1950s onwards. Global opinion was increasingly on a collision course with colonialization in the late 1940s and early 1950s. The United Nations continued its work to organize committees to discuss as well as monitor colonial administrations. The Danish government designed the Greenland Acts of 1950 to demonstrate its capacity and willingness to modernize its colony and improve the lives of its 20,000 inhabitants. It was easier to modernize a less populated colony such as Greenland than the densely populated colonies of Africa and Asia. Denmark exploited this opportunity to frame its performance as a colonial power even more favorably. Moreover, the Greenland Acts of 1950 buttressed the perception of Denmark as a benevolent colonial power to both the Western and Eastern blocs of the Cold War. This was to yield favorable prospects in international negotiations. Now that the Soviet Union, nor the United States of America, had an interest in promoting Greenland's independence. As its geopolitical position maintained a buffer zone between the two, Greenland becoming a new country risked provoking an undesirable chain of events in the Arctic. Most likely the United States, thanks to its active military bases in Greenland, would fill the power vacuum created by a Danish withdrawal. A new and untested US-Soviet frontier could cause conflict. Because of this, the United States and Soviet Union accommodated Danish views and perspectives. The United States particularly kept a friendly disposition towards Denmark at this time. This was largely because in 1941, the wartime ambassador of Denmark to the United States, Henrik Kaufmann, permitted the American government to construct military bases in Greenland without first consulting the German-influenced government in Copenhagen. In return, Denmark received much more American goodwill than its size merited. American goodwill, geopolitical considerations, and positive perceptions of Danish colonial rule increased the prospect of preserving Greenland as a Danish territory. Additionally, when the United States had acquired the Danish West Indies, or the United States Virgin Islands in 1917, the Americans had acknowledged Greenland as a Danish territory. The American government had even proposed to buy Greenland in 1946, thus implicitly honouring the agreement of 1917 and recognising Danish sovereignty. All of this eased a future integration of Greenland into Denmark. Greenland's new status. As anti-colonial sentiments grew and the heated decolonisation debate turned ally against ally, Denmark was conveniently enough preparing a revision of its constitution. Great Britain and France joined each other in defending imperial interests against American and Soviet pressure. Simultaneously, Danish politicians and civil servants proposed that the constitutional revision could also include the integration of Greenland into Denmark as a county. The Danish government presented the Greenland Provincial Council with the proposal in 1952, which they approved after a few days of deliberation. When the revised constitution passed into law after a referendum in 1953, it stated that it applies to all parts of the Kingdom of Denmark. This importantly included both Greenland and the Faroe Islands. The Greenlandic electorate did not participate in the referendum, and the Danish government merely consulted the Greenlanders through their elected representatives in the Greenland Provincial Council. The revised constitution made Greenland a county. The revision also guaranteed 2 seats in the parliament for Greenland, which wielded substantial power relative to the small size of the Greenlandic electorate. The modernization scheme and representation in parliament were convincing signs of integration and decolonization. In 1954, the United Nations voted on whether to accept or reject Greenland's new status. The vote passed thanks to Denmark's reputation as a benevolent colonial power. Danish willingness to modernize Greenland, the revised constitution that guaranteed suitable Greenlandic representation in parliament, and the Danish addition of integration to the UN's list of factors all contributed to the vote being carried. The two newly elected Greenlandic members of the Danish Parliament gave talks on Greenland's status to the United Nations before the vote. It all looked convincing to the international community. From 1954, the United Nations no longer perceived Greenland to be a colony. Denmark preserved a significant territory at a time when most European colonies were declaring independence. Greenland was a Danish county until 1979, when it attained home rule. The captions to the pictures are as follows. Caption 1, United Nations member states were informed about Greenland's change of status from a colony to a county in 1954. Caption 2, the United Provincial Council Act originated from the 1948 Commission's work. The law created a unified legislative body in Greenland. True provincial council in Greenland, a northern and a southern council, existed prior to 1950, and as they had been unified during the Second World War, a precedent had been created for a unified Greenland Provincial Council. Excerpt from the official record of Danish laws, 1950. Caption 3. The agreement that permitted the United States of America to build military bases in Greenland. Ambassador Henrik Kangfort, who acted independently from the German-influenced Danish government in Copenhagen, signed the agreement on April 9, 1941. In occupied Denmark, the agreement caused an uproar. The Danish government recalled Kaufmann, but he continued his work as an independent Danish diplomat to Washington for the duration of the war. In the aftermath of the Second World War, the Danish Houses of Parliament unanimously passed the 1941 agreement, excerpt from the official record of Danish laws, 1945. Caption 4. Part of the Danish delegation of the United Nations that informed the member states about Greenland's new status. United Nations recognised Greenland as an integrated Danish county shortly after this scene. This podcast was the second in a series where friends and colleagues of Nordics.info read out material that already exists in written form on the website. It was recorded in Copenhagen in February 2020 and is read by me, Brian Whitcomb. It was produced by Nicola Whitcomb. This podcast and Reimagining Norden in an Evolving World, or Renew for short, are supported by Norforsk. If you are interested in hearing more, please visit the website nordics.info.